Well, good afternoon, everyone. Happy Sabbath. I'd like to send out greetings to those who are joining us on the webcast. Glad that you're with us here on this fine Sabbath day. I'd like to send also our greetings from the home office, part of the home office staff. We have a few people here from Cincinnati East who are from the media department. Usually when I get up and speak in front of the church members or the elders, I like to go into a lot of detail about what we're doing in the media department and all the interesting things that we're doing, but that's not my point today. But I do want to make just a few statements that we've got a really great staff, a lot of young people working there, a lot of energy and excitement there at the home office. And if you were here when I was song leading a few days ago, you saw the jelly video that we did. So there's a lot of things that we're doing there that's exciting, but I also just want to mention to you here today that if you haven't had a chance yet to watch the Beyond Today program, WGN is here locally, I believe on channel 24, at least it was on my cable station, and tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. on WGN, channel 24, we'll be airing a new, brand new program. It's part of a three-part series on Christ's Second Coming. This is a program that Gary Petty did, and it's Christ's Second Coming, What Are the Signs? And it's Jesus foretold dire times ahead for humanity. Why did he give us prior warning? What should you do? So if you haven't had a chance yet to watch Beyond Today, here's a good opportunity. I never get a chance to watch it on television because I don't have cable. So last week I watched it, and so it's really neat to watch it on television. Why are we here? That question has been asked numerous times. This is my 39th feast. My first feast was here in Jekyll Island, and I was only 2 weeks old. So it's always 1 year ahead, so you know how old I am. I'm 38. But always coming to the church, we always heard this question: why are we here? Why are you here? We know in Nehemiah 8 that Ezra read daily during the Feast of Tabernacles, and it was great joy for people to hear the words. But I believe we are here for more than that. And I think some of the messages we have heard this past feast prove that. We are here not only to strengthen our bonds and our relationship with God, but we are here to strengthen our bonds and our relationships with each other. If you look back in Acts 2, after the church started in first Pentecost there, the end of Acts, chapter 2, 42 through 47, talks about the fellowship of the believers. They had everything in common. They shared bread. They had meals together. They sold things. They did everything that they could do to be together, to share, to build relationships, to connect with each other. And later on in Acts 4, verse 32, that we see that all the believers were one in heart and mind. The believers in the first century church were connected to each other. They were individual parts that were brought together because of a spiritual body. We, here at the feast, each one of you is a continuation of that relationship back from the first century church. We are all parts of one spiritual body that God has arranged for his specific plan. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18, we read in the New King James Version, it says, "But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased." I like to read different translations. It really helps me to sink in my mind what the Bible is trying to say. And I've always told people that, you know, find a translation that works for you and build that relationship with God. And so I like looking at other translations, but I really liked how the New Living Translation put it there in 1 Corinthians 12:18. It said, "But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it." We know in Romans 12, 4 through 5, it talks about all the various parts in Romans 12, the foot, the hand, the head. And it says in verse 4 that, "For we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." So we can't be all the same thing, but yet we have a specific place where God has put us in this spiritual body. Now, if you look in 1 Corinthians 12, a few scriptures down, in verse 27, it says, again from the New Living Translation, "All of you together are Christ's body. Each of you is a part of it." You sitting here and you listening in on the webcast, whether you're not with us, but you are part of the body, now and in the future, kingdom of God. As we saw in the feast video, it was really talked about a lot of the church's vision statement. I'm going to go back and I'm just going to read that vision statement so it's fresh in our minds, because I think it's one of the best things that we have in the church to really give us some energy behind proclaiming the gospel and showing that we want everyone to be part of the church. It says, a church led by God's Holy Spirit, joined and knit together by what every member supplies, with all doing their share and growing in love to fulfill God's great purpose for humanity to bring many children to glory. The part that I want to focus on is the part that's in Ephesians 4:16. In the New King James Version, it says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Another translation, the NIV says, from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, I just thought it was interesting. Why did Paul use this Greek word that translates into joint or ligament? I did a little bit of researching and stuff, and I'm not anybody to know medical things, but the joints and the ligaments are very vital to our bodies to get us to move. And if one joint's not working or one ligament's not working, you're not going to go anywhere. Ask anybody who's ever torn their ACL. Can they walk too easily? That ligament in that knee is vital, important, and it has to be strengthened. But I like to look at the New Living Translation. He, as we all know, that Christ is the head of the body, makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Jesus Christ does as the head. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body, the whole spiritual body, is healthy and growing and full of love. Each part, everyone that is sitting here is special and important to the spiritual body. No matter your age, no matter your skin color, no matter your language, no matter your physical ability. And that didn't hit me until when I was talking to an individual on atonement. This man that I was talking to is in his early 60s. He grew up in the Church of God. He remembered coming to here in Jekyll Island when he was a young child. But he stopped coming 20 years ago. He got confused, got different things. But a few weeks ago, he started coming back to church. And I was talking to him. But let me tell you his situation. He's got cerebral palsy. So when I'm trying to listen to him, it's difficult to understand him. And he has just, you have to really listen to find out what he's saying. But he said something to me, and I didn't get it when he said it, because I thought of an answer right away. But he asked me, he said, do you know who the most important people are at the feast? And I thought, well, everybody's important. And true, everybody is important. But he had his head kind of down, and he kind of looked at me, and he went like, the people who do this, and the people who are crippled, and the people who are in wheelchairs. He said, there are some of the most important people. Even though they can't do anything, they still can be a part of God's spiritual body. And it hit me there, and I thought about what Christ had said about separating the sheep and the goats, and thinking, well, we can just keep the Sabbath and the commandments, but if we don't do these other things to take care of people, we may not be part of that spiritual body. So there are things to think about, and there's the example of people say, well, I've only been in the church for a couple weeks, or this is my first Feast or Tabernacles. Well, I've been in here for 40 years. I think about the parable of the workers in the vineyard, and if you go back and read that parable in Matthew 20. But the end of the parable says, so the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. You, every one of you, wants to be part of helping the body. And you want to be part of what God has chosen and placed by God. So, how do you become a better part? We've had the feast here. We've had some great spiritual messages to apply in our lives. We heard some good messages yesterday about our Christian example. But how do you become a better part? Just like the ligament, it has to be exercised. It has to be strengthened. Everything is connected in the body. And that's what's so interesting about some of the examples that Paul gives, that the ligament, the joint, the things that connect people are extremely important. If one fails, the whole body does not work as it's intended. But you also have to realize that God has placed each one of us as one of those joints or ligament to do a specific thing. So we might be something here or on our knees or somewhere else. And God can move us around wherever he needs us to be. But we have to be willing to know that we can do that. And God can give us the strength. But how do we become a better part? Well, the key thing, and this is the key thing with anything as we're focusing and putting our hands to the plow, looking forward to God's kingdom, is that we need to build a better, meaningful relationship with God. And that's easy to say, but it's extremely hard to do in our world and our society. But how do you do that? We all know, Bible study. You've got to read your Bible. You've got to be reading it. I always like to tell people, you've got to be like the Bereans. Acts 17, verse 11. Be like the Bereans. Everything that I say here, you need to open your Bible and go and prove that I'm right. We need to search the scriptures daily to make sure that we understand it. So when the time comes when Mr. Cowan said that we'll be martyred, we are strong in faith and we help each other. We can rely on what the Bible says. We need to be in prayer. How's your prayer life been here at the feast? Have you been drifting? Have you been getting plenty of sleep? We are here to be focusing on God's kingdom and the messages and also building those relationships. How about meditation? This is a wonderful, beautiful place. How many have taken walks and just thought and talked to God out loud? We have examples of Jesus Christ going in the wilderness and just praying. Have you taken that opportunity when you're here so you're not at work, you're not at school? Take the early morning to do that. Fasting. How often do you fast? I'm guilty of not fasting enough, but we need to do that. We need to be strengthened. All these things are exercises to strengthen the body, and we're each a part of that body, and we need to be contributing to that body to make it strong so we can get where we need to go, which is God's kingdom. The key thing, while here at the feast with so many people, is to be building godly, meaningful relationships with each other. With each other. Get to know each other. Just beyond the surface level of where you're from, how's the weather, how many kids you have. Get to know each other. It says in the Bible to be able to pray for each other's trials and difficulties. Do you know people, their trials and difficulties while you're here? Do you know the people that you're sitting beside, behind, around? There's over 600 people here. You know you can't meet everybody, but this is your spiritual body. If you want to leave this place and walk, you got to know what everybody else is doing so that you can remain strong. You need to be able to encourage people. We all need encouragement. As working with the church's website, we have a feature on our website that allows people to comment on articles. And so often we get people's comments that saying, this is the first time that I've read this. Now what do I do? I've just started reading about the Sabbath. Or I need to not keep Christmas. What do I do? How do I deal with my family? How do I make this change? And I've really encouraged people, members and things, as much as I can to, if you're not on the church's website, and if you have the ability to, please get on there. Please go to ucg.org, create an account, and be there to answer people's comments. Because I've told people that's worth so much when somebody from the church, from the spiritual body says, I've been there. I've had cancer. I've dealt with the death of a mate. I've done these things, and the only thing that has got me through has been my relationship with God and reading the Bible. And sometimes it's all you have to say to people to let them know that the answers are in the Bible. So what I've done is, this is just brief, I have a pamphlet that we've always hand out for the past couple years. It's How Can I Help? Preaching the Gospel on the Internet. I put up a stack of these on the information table. Get one. Take a look. It involves other things that we try to do, but I really need your help, because all of your helps can be able to contribute. You may ask, well, I don't know what I have to do. I don't know my talents. I usually start talking to people and say, what do you do? What do you do? What's your job? What's your career? What are you doing in school? And so if you don't know your talents to be able to give spiritual strength to the body, then go to God and ask. I mean, we should have confidence in James 1:17 that says every good and perfect gift is from above. And so once we know those gifts, we better use them, or we don't want to be like the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, where Christ said, "A worthless servant." You know, we need to be focused and be thankful for the blessings and use the talents that we have. Do your part to strengthen the entire spiritual body. The spiritual body can do a lot more. I've seen this when we have collaborated on efforts at the home office. We've got a very small staff. I like to joke with people of Gideon had his huge number and brought it down to 300. We've got like 10. Gideon's 10. And we don't have that many people, but it's amazing when everyone works together and is united what you can accomplish. And so our spiritual body can move in great ways in being able to preach the gospel or to prepare a people. Mr. Eddington, in the feast video, made a comment, which I think I just like to touch on. He said, if we can become a group of people, a church who is described in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, we will get the job done. What is our job? Our job is to preach the gospel to the entire world. And I can tell you, we are doing this. If you want to come find me after church, I'll show you how we're doing this. And I'll show you a map, and it shows me real time how many people are on the church's website and where they're coming from. He goes on to say, God will be so strongly behind us that we will get that done. We will preach the gospel effectively as far and as wide as God wants us to, and we will care for those that God chooses to be called part of his church in those latter days. But there is a key part in Ephesians 4:16 that I want to focus on for just a few minutes. And that is the part where it says the whole body is healthy and growing, full of love. That's a hard thing for us as humans to be able to understand, this concept of love. It's just something that's foreign to us, and how we can really have that agape love. So take the time, you know, read 1 John and how many times it says in 1 John, the book, that to love one another, to love his brother. Read 1 Corinthians 13. I know we've all read it. It's the most excellent way that was talked about. It's the greatest of these is love. Jesus Christ, when he was latter night before he was crucified, he was alone and he was praying to God. And he had a prayer that he first asked the prayer for God, for himself. And then he prayed for his disciples. And then he prayed for his believers. In John 17, 20, verses 20 through 26, this is the New Living Translation. Christ says this. He says, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will believe in me through their message. That's you. That's you who he's praying for. I pray that they will all be one. Christ's words, it's read in my Bible. It says, I pray that all will be one. Just as you and I, just as me and my heavenly Father, as Christ was saying, are one. As you in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity. Perfect unity. That the world will know that you sent me. That's our Christian example. People will know us because of our unity. They'll know that we're preaching the gospel because of our unity in Christ. And that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. That's part of God's coming kingdom. That's the spiritual body, the bride. What we're all looking forward to being married to Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. Oh, righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples you sent me, I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. Very, very comforting words from Christ's prayer before he was crucified. I find great comfort in those, to read those, because that's what he said and that's what we should strive to do. Again, I ask you, why are we here? Why are you here in this hall? Why are you watching on the webcast right now? We are here at the feast not only to take in all the spiritual material from our studies, from the reading of being here, but we are here to be reminded that we are parts, each one of you, of a great spiritual body that is to be joined and knit together with each other, with Jesus Christ as the head, guiding us, directing us, so that we can be a part of God's coming kingdom. Take the opportunity, the remainder of the Sabbath day, and every future Sabbath and holy day, and take the opportunity, the last few days that we're here together in Jekyll Island, to strengthen your parts, your part, by the things I gave to you, and then strengthen the parts of others, the parts of God's spiritual body. May we all continue to pray with more fervent desire, Thy kingdom come.